Welcome to Module 1, Naming Our Distortions. In this module, we're going to look at how our core beliefs and shame, or everything we outlined in Phase 2A, have impacted how we consume information and how it gets digested through and fed back into shame. This will help us decipher the ways tension and pain have been built up within us, as well as the impact it can have on how we engage with our lives. The more we experience pain, the more rigid our perceptions can become. These skewed perceptions are referred to as cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions are heavily exaggerated or overapplied thought filters that we wear like a pair of glasses and become dependent on to see and make sense of the world. We assume truths and outcomes, and everything gets tied to this. The entirety of our lives becomes viewable through these beliefs, all rooted in the notion that we are the problem. So only thoughts, situations, and experiences that align with this get filtered through. This means that information that suggests otherwise will be dismissed or manipulated to fit this belief system, which you can imagine can cause significant psychological distress and impact how we think, feel, act, and connect. And worse, the longer we operate under these skewed perception points, the harder it is to see them as anything but truth. If I always assume I'm the problem, how will that affect how I set boundaries? If I always believe I have nothing worthy to say or get hyperfixated on mistakes I've made, what's the likelihood that I'll try something new or put myself out there? If my narrative is that I'm a failure, how likely will I be to accept positive feedback or see opportunities as ones that are deserved or fitting? In all of this, we become the hero, victim, and villain in every story, something that we're going to dive a lot deeper into in Module 4. We have all the control and yet none of it. We oversimplify everyone and everything outside of us while overcomplicating our own lives. Everything becomes about us, and the deeper that we fall into this, the less able we are to develop connections of meaning and authenticity, putting us at risk of the very thing we're trying to protect against. So in the worksheet below, I'm going to walk you through the 12 most common cognitive distortions. As you move through each, your job will be to ask yourself, how does this show up in my life? Now, the key here is to ask how and not does this show up in my life? Why? Because shame is a savvy beast. And if the possibility exists to twist the story away from these distortions and hence shame, it'll take it. Do not play that game. Under each distortion, you'll define not only how it shows up in your life, but what role it plays. How is it serving your shame? What impact has it had on how you think, feel, act, and connect in the world? Next to each distortion, you're then going to begin some work on reflecting what it would be like to let go of this thought filter and how it might affect your life. Both, let's consider what we could gain, but also what fears would exist or uncertainties might present themselves. And then we're going to scale our readiness to let go of each of these distortions. Again, this will help us with rooting into and understanding our shame and build insight into how we need to address this work moving forward. Now, before you get started, I want to point out three quick notes. First, go back to that pivot in our questioning. It's not about if, but how these distortions affect you. Shame wants you to bring doubt to the table when you work on this. When you notice thoughts like, oh, your thinking isn't distorted, or this isn't bad or unhealthy, it's about protecting and keeping yourself in check. This is how you have to show up, or the only way that we're going to get ahead. Or any time that shame says, yeah, but all of those thoughts are shame. Again, shift to the idea that you do all these so that we can preemptively close the door on the if and then subsequently on shame before we sit at the table. The second point is a very critical radical acceptance point. You are fallible. You can't always see the world clearly, and sometimes that puts you or others down without intending to. Sometimes that causes pain to yourself and others. That doesn't make you bad or weak. It makes you human. Again, go back to the grace and space we created when exploring the depth of our shame. Bring that same compassion here and be sure to make and invite space to pause in this work, as it can be a lot to consider just how much we can be reacting from distorted logic. And again, that expansion of our view to see just how deeply rooted the ripple effects can be. And finally, I want to circle back to something that we've begun to address, but make it very, very plain. Shame gets its legs from scarcity. Meaning, shame only has a pitch to stand on if we buy into a system of scarcity. There's not enough time. Some people are better than others. There isn't enough for everyone. If I don't do it now, I never will. I have to limit time and negative emotions or I'm going to get stuck there. Shame requires that you buy into this model. And right now, you do. You aren't a bad or lesser person because of it. And yes, logically, I know you're saying that you don't believe in these things, and you do. On some level, you have internalized and inherited the scarcity mindset of your family, community, and culture at large. In some cases, it's incredibly helpful, like shifting the way that we think about the climate and that there isn't an infinite amount of space to keep your plastic bottles or that we can't survive forever by taking advantage of Earth's resources. But in the context of your value as a human and the value of other people, it isn't. This part of the work we're doing in this program is to shuffle and dismantle a belief system that says this form of scarcity is necessary and helpful. Now, just a note, this is a longer worksheet. There's a lot of content to move through and reflect on, so take your time. And as you go through this module, this is a great time to use the discussion forum. Which distortions are you getting stuck in? Or what ones feel most salient or heavy to hold? How has it affected you? What is it like to sit with that, and what support do you need from others? If you need anything from me, don't forget to join us for this month's call-in or submit your question or stuck point to be considered for the monthly email. Otherwise, take your time. Move through at your own pace, and when you're ready, I'll see you back here for Module 2.